It's the Pocket Show on the British Tech Network, and it is the first live version of the show. We are almost entirely live from the Northern Studio. Almost. I certainly am in the Northern Studio. There is a green screen and stuff as well. I have a great panel tonight to chat to you about some pocket-related things. And we have stuff to talk about tonight, kind of. We've got kind of more realistic rumors and stuff. So I'm going to start top right, according to my screen, is Mr. Ewan Rankin. How are you this evening?
Oh, dude, you picked the one line I haven't set up yet.
What?
Oh, I thought you were going to Mattcast. I'm ready with this one. Oh, geez. I'm good, mate. You?
Yeah, I'm super.
Slick as snot.
No, we're doing good. I'm tired, actually. That's what I am. Home from work and trying desperately to get all these cables and stuff like that set up for this evening's show.
Have you got any champagne to break over the bars?
You know, I do not. On Monday night past, like a week ago tonight, we were going to do the Gamer Show live for the first time. And we had party rings. Mac Vader, who I think is in the chat room, at the very least he was looking on Twitter, was quite disappointed when he realised party rings were biscuits. He was expecting something altogether different. I don't know if you saw the photograph that I tweeted out, and Chiz actually bought himself one of those figure-hugging green morph suits that he was sitting so that just looked like the headphones were hovering about. It was pretty special.
Good.
We're all here now. And we're in the Northern Studio, and I'm happy. And we also have Mr. Adam Christensen of the Maccast here as well. How are you?
Hey, I'm good.
Good.
Hanging in
good.
There.
Good.
Been busy lately, but
yes,
you finally be on a British Tech Network show.
Yeah, I know. It feels like it's been ages.
Oh, stop going on, Christensen. You're whinging old git.
Oh, dear.
Jeez.
Yeah. I didn't name
it's all good. Yeah, it's all good though. We were here finally for the first time in 2 weeks. The homepage of the British Tech Network is going to change tomorrow, so that's good. That'll be nice. And finally, at the bottom row, we have Christopher P. Woods. How are you this evening, sir?
What's the P stand for?
I don't know. I thought.
Oh, answers on a postcard.
I'll go first. Perspicacious. Also, a fanfare for Paul Wheatley's new internet connection.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Congratulations. Oh, dude.
Oh, that's awesome. Well done.
That was 4 years. Special. That's the use for it.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good. I'm liking my new internet connection to the point that I've totally forgotten about it, which is kind of nice. I guess that's probably a thing that's pretty special. Windrider says Pratt in the chat room. I don't know if that's relating to your fanfare. Me. Or anybody else.
I was going to say, he needs to narrow that down a bit.
There could be anybody here.
It begins.
So, as I alluded
bring
to...
Bring it on.
Sorry, Chris?
Just bring it on. Oh, I know what the P stands for. It stands for pisshead. Hang on a second.
Open on air.
Thank you, Iron Maiden.
Yeah. Okay, fine. So we have stuff to talk about tonight. We have an official announcement of an Apple keynote for next week, the 9th. We also have some stuff around a Windows announcement, which is happening IFA in Berlin next week. No, that'll be this week, actually, Friday. So on the 5th to the 10th. We have some leaks around that. We also have some news on a new LG watch. But we're going to jump straight in to the Windows Phone news. So invitations have been sent out for the IFA announcement of possibly two Windows phones. The advert kind of shows as if it could be kind of a special sort of selfie phone. The advert's kind of three young, pretty people standing, clearly taking a selfie from a phone. Rumors are it's a 5-megapixel front-facing camera for this phone. Chinese site Baidu Tiba, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, T-I-E-B-A, not sure, have leaked a couple of photos of a Lumia 730. A 735, a Lumia 830, which will be both mid-range phones, and it's expected that these are the things that they're going to shout about at the show next week. Ewan, you being our Windows panelist, do these phones kind of incite you in any way, or is it these are just mid-range because you're kind of more interested in the high-end cameras in these phones?
I think the thing with Windows has done that they're trying to do a good range across price ranges. But the high-end stuff seems to be coming back in price as well a little bit. And it's not because of lack of sales, because they're recovering in Europe and they're doing great guns across the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. 520, my son's just got the 8.1 upgrade to 520, which is good. Even Alison Sheridan, I'm led to believe, having nearly crashed the frigging car 2 weeks ago listening to this show, is impressed with the 635. And I can't say enough good stuff about the low end. So whether the 730 is going to hit the kind of 180 mark, $250 mark, mm-hmm. And whether the 8, it's not the 8, is it? It's a 6, what's it? That's the 735. Whether that's going to be just a bit up, I don't know. The only thing is that there was a rumour that there was going to be a Pure View camera coming at this event. And there's no mention of Pure View, but I did get you a picture of the 835, the 830, which is supposed to have a 13 megapixel Pure View camera. I mean, Windows Phone is going great runs at the moment. There's a lot of people taking it up, and there's a lot of people saying a lot of good things about it. I've got to say, I've kind of switched off a bit from iPhone.
Really? So you, there was a couple of things that were rumored about the iPhone 6. I seem to remember you tweeting a couple of weeks ago about saying, if any of these are kind of true, I might be tempted back again. Is that?
That wasn't been shut me. Down now?
I'm fairly sure it was.
I can't see me going back to an iPhone. I can't, no. There is, as long as I've got my trusty and beautiful 1020 or an equivalent phone that's got a very good sensor on it for the camera, I mean, that's part of my workflow now. I've just earned a fortune using that to tweet a company with instant images so that they can send them out on a Twitter feed. It's no longer just a cell phone to me. It's a production camera for me as well as. Don't tell them I said that.
So it's a 730, which is the it's going to be a kind of a design wise, it's sort of a cross between a 720 and 800 920 design. It's going to be thin, as we all know. It's got the 730 is supposed to have a dual SIM 3G variant. That's obviously for the developing world. I don't know of very many phones that release in kind of the UK and the US that have dual SIM 3G slots, much as I think it would be quite cool if they did.
Shocked me.
I don't see very many of them.
That shocked me. I didn't see it. I looked at that and thought, that's just like left field. I don't see why that's a relevance or a benefit.
I can see the relevance in a scenario where, certainly in the UK, and I would imagine the US as well, where you perhaps have a work phone and a home phone, as in a personal mobile phone, and it would be handy to have a dual SIM. But usually with these things, it requires a full reboot. So if it was a scenario where you maybe rebooted your phone at night and then you switched on over the personal SIM, it'd be quite nice if it was both together and you could just disable one. So disable the SIM that works for your work phone or something like that the weekend. I can kind of see the logic in that. I think that requires a lot more hardware than just having two SIM cards in it.
I don't know what the rest of you feel like, but I mean, there isn't a good phone, or there isn't a phone on the market that's got a good reboot sequence. I mean, the Windows Phone is a crap reboot sequence on the 1020. I can't think Samsung or Android is any better, and I don't think, I haven't rebooted a 5S, but I can't see that that's any better.
What do you mean by reboot sequence?
So when you switch it off to switch it on to change your SIM over...
Oh, to change your SIM over, right.
Then I can't see that being a nice experience. And there's nowhere does that. I mean, the one thing that the Nokia hasn't got, the iPhone's got, is that quick pickup on the camera as well. The lag to the camera starting is significant on the 1020. It's a pain in the arse. It's the only thing I've got as a real criticism. So if there is a restart for a dual SIM, I see no enjoyment in that.
Hmm. Adam, do you see many dual SIM 3G variants, cameras in the States that have dual SIM slots or a benefit from that?
No.
No.
Uh-uh. I can't even think of any that I'm aware of. But yeah. I mean, I'm sure maybe they exist.
I'm sure Nokia made one years ago. I seem to remember a friend of mine having one for the reason for being able to switch between a work SIM and a personal SIM. But that was a long time ago, at least 10 years ago.
3310. Yeah.
But if you have to reboot the phone every time you want to switch that, that's like Ewan saying, that's just a pain. I mean, it takes forever to boot any kind of phone that I'm aware of. Or not forever, but longer than you'd like.
Sure. So these are going to be mid-range phones. The images at the moment that have been released are on the show in black and white variants, but I think we can be fairly safe to say that there's going to be multiple colours, as is the style with the Lumia brand. The 830 looks like it's going to be a little bit more of a powerhouse. The 4.7-inch HD clear black display, quad-core Snapdragon processor, 1 GB of RAM, 6.7-megapixel rear camera, 5-megapixel front-facing camera, so this is the selfie phone that we alluded to earlier, 8 GB of internal storage, micro SD expansion, no camera button, so it's all on-screen keys, and the new Lumion Debian Red firmware, and 4G LTE. So this sort of looks like a higher end, albeit they're both sort of in the middle of the range. This is sort of a high-middle phone, this 830. But it looks quite interesting. I have to admit, I picked up a Windows phone recently so that I could play with 8.1, because the Microsoft website, I think I mentioned this in the Pocket Show previously, the Microsoft website suggested that I was able to use this phone on 8.1. I got it home and Mr. Batwench told me in the chat room, on Twitter, that it was a mistake on the Microsoft website, and the phone that I had didn't actually work with 8.1, so I was quite disappointed with that. But my personal disappointments aside, this is an interesting announcement. Chris, are you... I think we discussed this in the last time you were on the show. You're not even remotely interested in Windows Phone. You're very much in the Android camp.
I just picked up a new phone. I can tell you, it's so small. Look at it. Look at the thing. It's amazing. I haven't charged this for 3 months, and I've just turned it on.
Is that a 3310?
It's a Samsung.
30 years?
Sorry, the video is kind of lagging in my head. I can't see what you're showing me. Yeah.
This has become my carry about if I know I'm going to be out for more than 8 hours phone. I just smack the sim in it. It just does what you want. Oh, it's still got 3 bars of battery left. I love old phones. It's amazing, isn't it? You realise how efficient these old phones are. I'm not a Windows person. I had to plug my S3 in again. It managed to chomp through 60% of its battery in between leaving work and getting home.
I've discovered a way to make sure my 5S lasts all day. And I have a lightning cable at work, and my phone just stays plugged in during the day.
Yeah. Me too. it's the firmware. It's an old version of CyanogenMod, so it's not the phone's fault. The phone just does what it's told. But, I don't know.
Ewan Wrighty's asking in the chat room, is all about the camera. If the iPhone came out with a compatible camera, would you go back?
Well, there's nothing pulling me back to iPhone over and above the camera. So if there was an absolute level playing field of camera, then I might say I wouldn't do it. But if you're saying there's a better camera in the iPhone and it's faster to get to ready to press the shutter, that would be a temptation. Definitely.
I was so impressed by the cam on your phone.
Thank you, because it is brilliant. I mean, it is an unbelievable camera. It does as good as the iPhone 5S in low light. The flash is significantly better than the iPhone 5S, and the daylight pictures, if you get out and shoot in good light, there isn't anything close. And I think there's probably, if you look at the under £200 compact camera market, you won't find anything that's as close. And it shoots DNG. So you've got all of that processing ability afterwards, which you won't get with a lot of the low-end camera stuff.
So other than the camera, what is keeping you at Windows Phone?
I like the interface. I did say right at... I was more than a year ago, I was saying, you know, the iPhone is losing me because I sit in the car and I want one big button to answer a phone call. I want one big button to read a text message or have it played back to me across the Bluetooth in the car. I'm not interested in a great deal extra, and that's the beauty of this thing is when you start it up, I can create my home screen with individual button sizes for what I want. Most frequently used is bigger, most least used is smaller, and I think ergonomically that's a sound principle, whereas iPhone wants to channel me down into what they want me to do. I think Apple's becoming, for people that have bothered to look at the Android market, at the higher end Android market, and at the Windows phone, I think Apple's becoming a little bit more irrelevant as a choice, and the sales figures are proving that.
Are the sales figures proving that? Because I think the sales figures are showing that it's sort of plateauing to a degree. It's not necessarily saying that people are leaving iPhone.
Well, iPhone's only 13% of market share in Europe, and Windows Phone is at 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's not saying that that the people are going away from iPhone. That's just saying that the market's perhaps expanding to a degree.
I think there's a lot of people that I see that are like myself that are kind of like, you know, I've been with iPhone, I like it, but there's no flexibility. I've got to do exactly what they want. Okay, yes, you know, the virus-free element is part of it for some people, but I think people are looking at other phones and going, ooh, and it's the shiny, and, you know, the iOS experience. And I think iOS 7 killed a lot of people off, because the iOS 7 upgrade, I actually quite liked it. I thought it was visually very nice, but it turned an awful lot of people off going to flat icons.
Hmm. Well, I mean, Windows Phone is flat icons as well, isn't it?
It is, but I think the thing is, the beauty of the Windows Phone is the fact that you've got that, you know, because it's 60 frames a second with the scrolly scroll and stuff. It moves and flows far better. There's a certain, you know, the touch and glide on it is a lot sexier than you get with iPhone. And iPhone hasn't really gotten to the idea of looking at the menu and saying, right, well, actually that menu is bordered by four sides, because all you can do is swipe left or right. There's no up or down on it, and the up or down just brings up controls that you never use. Ergonomically, I don't think that iOS is a great piece of software anymore. I think Windows Phone 8 is better ergonomically.
So I see what you mean. I think that there's a lot that they can do. I think they're a bit concerned maybe that they've got quite a big user base there that they don't want to kind of scare off by making too many changes too quickly. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned earlier on that your son uses Windows Phone. I'm just quite curious, from a child's point of view, picking up the phone and running with it, how does he find the interface? Is it okay?
He loves it. I've said to him, do you want another phone? He's like, no, love this. He absolutely adores it. And he's got 8.1 this week. They've gone back and even though it's kind of like a legacy item for the 520, they've decided to upgrade to 8.1. So he's got full seeing on there. He's got the swipey text thing, which he nearly went to meltdown when he found out he could do that. Mm-hmm. And then the wife found out she could do it on her 635, and she was over the moon. And we're a Windows Phone family, and I really don't see us going back to iOS. I love my iOS on my tablet, don't get me wrong. Would I then go to a tablet for Windows Phone 7 kind of interface? That would be tough. There'd have to be a really good camera to take me over, because I actually quite like my iPad Air, but... So I'm not an Apple hater. I'm not an Apple lover. I'm not a Windows lover. I'm not a Windows hater. I go with what works best for me. And at the moment, I don't see another phone working better.
I think the litmus test for sticking with a phone is if you spend more than £20 on apps for it. So have you spent more than £20 on apps for it?
I've got every app that I've got tons of apps on iPhone that I never use. So I've got all the apps that I regularly used on iPhone, I've got on my Windows Phone. I miss nothing. Everyone's going about, app store's the real drawback. Not as far as I've seen. I've got nothing different. I don't need any more than I've currently got.
Do you use a lot of free apps or paid apps? Because I've spent far too much money. And I subscribe. Both. I'm fully committed to Android now. And I'm not so fussed about that. But I realise it kind of ties your wrists, doesn't it?
I think I would. That's another reason for staying with iOS in terms of the pad, is the fact that a lot of the apps that I bought for the phone actually will transfer across, and I can still use them on the iPad if I really want to. So I'm getting the best of both worlds, if you like that. Would I strip away entirely and just say I'm going to walk away from the £500 or whatever it is that I spent on iOS apps? That might be a bigger ask.
Mm. Okay, interesting. It's interesting to get your perspective. The only really experience of somebody that I know, with the exception of yourself and the other guys that come on this this show, of Windows Phone in the real world is my in-laws. They both had Windows phones, and they have recently abandoned them because they found the interface just confusing and clunky. Now, to be fair, I don't know if I'd agree to that level, but it's interesting that Ellis didn't have any issue with it.
He loves it.
A point that you kind of think, you know, like if yourself and Chris that we have on this show and things like that, and they are completely fine with it because they're completely bought into the the ecosystem and everything like that. And my in-laws just abandoned it, and they've both went away and got, I think they're S3s actually, they've got on off contract or something like that.
Are you sure they weren't on Windows Phone 7?
No, they were on Windows Phone 8. Because I had to set up their email and stuff like that on it, so I know it was definitely Windows Phone
8. Why would you go to an S3 for a Windows Phone 8?
They love their S3s now.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So happy.
Let's end the conversation right there.
I like my S3. I had an S3 like last summer or the summer before. Now that was a nice one.
I had an S3 in 1998. Yeah.
I still have an S3.
All right, sorry, Chris.
Android Wear news now. LG are expected to release the LG G Watch R. This is also IFA in Berlin next week. So we discussed, it was about probably a couple of months ago now, we had Dan Griffin on the show, of which he had the LG G Watch, and we were just getting some opinion from him around the watch. But this is the R version, and R, from what we can tell, effectively stands for round. They are releasing a round screened watch.
Marks are inventing this. Well done, LG.
It's effectively almost identical to the LG G Watch, apart from the fact that it has a heart rate monitor and it's round. The Verge, there's an amazing headline from The Verge. The LG G Watch R is the most exciting gadget I've ever hated. So that's that tells you. Straight off the bat. It's expected to be a similar price to LG's existing smartwatch, the G Watch, which is currently sitting at £159 in the Google Play Store. And it is the first smartwatch to feature a plastic OLED display. This, of course, is to compete with the Motorola circular watch. Off the top of my head, I forget exactly what that watch is called. I think it's like the Moto something. Specs are just as you would expect. 1.3-inch, 1.27 GHz Snapdragon, 400 processor, 512. RAM, 4 GB internal storage, and so on and so forth, runs Android Wear. This is
absolutely
first...
bonkers. Over a gigahertz of processor in a watch.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know, I'm showing my age now.
No. I think it's...
in a watch, what does it do without tethering to a phone?
It tells you the time.
Tells you the time.
No,
it's got half a gig of RAM to tell you the time.
Right, fellas, we're going to have a new watch. It's going to be called Project Round Watch, so no one will know what it is.
You know what, though? I have to say, of all the watches that are kind of kicking about just now, this one is the one that looks most watch-like, if that makes sense. It's the one that I've actually looked at.
Isn't that a copy of the Motorola one?
Yeah, basically it is.
Moto 360?
I think it looks slightly classier than the Moto 360, yeah.
It looks like a Seiko.
Yeah, I think it looks like a nice watch. It doesn't look like you're holding a piece of technology.
Of citizen, yeah.
Sorry, what was that?
Looks like a citizen watch. 30 quid.
I've been wearing...
Does it drift out of time like a real citizen?
I've been wearing the Pebble watch since the Bash, and I love it. My wife hates it, for the record, but I love it.
Why did she hate it?
Well, because it started to smell by now, I would have thought, if you haven't taken it off since the Bash, dude.
No, my wife absolutely hates it because... when I come home from work, I always take my phone and plug it in and put it on charge. So basically, from the point I come home from work till my kids go to bed, I am not distracted by a phone or anything like that. And my attention is 100% on my children. However, the watch sort of got around that slightly.
Yeah.
Because I was still within Bluetooth distance from my phone. So we'd be sitting having dinner, and then I'd just sort of slyly sort of twist my wrist as if I was maybe like scratching the back of my hand or something.
Obviously not slyly enough.
So the watch is now bad. So when I come out from work, the watch has to be put on charge with my phone, which is correct. It's only fair because when I come home from work, that couple hours between coming home from work and the kids going to bed is their time. So that's the correct thing to do, and I don't mean to.
I really enjoyed my Pebble, but I pretty much stopped wearing it.
Sorry, could you explain couple of hours to me?
How do you mean?
A couple of hours of free time. I have no clue.
I work all day, so I can't give any more than that couple of hours, and then the kids go to bed 2 hours after I come home from work. They have them all weekend as well. So anyway, we're getting down a weird path here. But
I'll pay you £20 not to tell Sharon how to get free time. Otherwise, I'll never hear the end of it.
Oh, dear. No, so she doesn't like it. I love it. I absolutely love it. I don't like the look of it, though. I think it's quite an ugly piece of tech.
I really like that. I was gutted when I couldn't get it to work my Windows phone.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, there's an app that comes with the Windows phone. to work with the pebble. But the problem is it unpairs itself constantly. So every time you want to use the Pebble Watch, you have to go to the app and start it up again on your Windows phone, and it's a pain in the arse.
Yeah, that happens anyway.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
It happens on the iPhone too.
Well, in that case, it's a piece of shit.
Unpairing itself or losing its connection, and you're having to...
Yeah.
They call it the pairing dance that you have to do.
Okay, well, why...
See, I didn't experience it that much with mine, I have to say.
It shouldn't happen at all, really.
Well, that's true. That is true. But again, I don't know. I did quite like the idea that I could leave, going back to an earlier conversation, I could leave my phone on my desk on charge, and I am within Bluetooth distance at all the meeting rooms around my desk. So if I'm in a meeting, I don't have to take my phone with me, and I know if I get a text message or something like that, which is nice.
But, I mean, so to kind of bring it back to this LG thing, the point of smartwatches, I think, is being lost on most consumers, and rightly so, because, you know, they're not really changing anything, and none of the, you know, designs or whatever it might be is going to get people to start wearing something on their wrist again. This was something that Tim Cook talked about, you know, at the DCOM. Right, people just don't wear watches, and there's been nothing compelling from anybody in this space that I think is going to, beyond, you know, someone like myself who just wants it for the sort of tech geekery novelty of it. You know, it was great for a while, but it wore off, and I think that's going to happen to a lot of consumers. And it, just so far, the whole smartwatch thing to me seems like a non-starter. So it's amazing to see companies like Motorola and LG just pouring tons of money into this thing. Because I think they're trying to get out ahead of whatever Apple's going to do, and I'm not even convinced Apple's going to do that much in this space.
Apple's going to do headphones.
Headphones?
No, Apple's going to do headphones. I said this the other night on the Big Show, which I haven't published yet. Will do, but Apple's going to do headphones. That's why they bought Beats, because in your ear you can get a strong pulse. You can get core temperature, and so you can give accurate temperature readings. You could probably get some kind of thing for like diabetes as well, but predeterminations for diabetes and that kind of stuff. I reckon the ear is probably the place where you will get most of the health benefit information. They're going to release a set of Bluetooth earphones that do all of your health stuff as well, link with HealthKit, and they're badged as Beats, so you know that the sound quality is high. What, my words.
Sorry, excuse me?
That's their wearable. No, the Beats ones are better since Monster stopped making them.
Well, you know, and even the fitness angle is sort of faddish to a certain degree. I know a lot of people who've gotten the bands and, you know, different bands and Fitbits and
I'm one of them.
Those sorts of things. And you know, it's just like you think you're going to use this thing and get healthier. But there has to be some other incentives. So, you know, whatever's going to happen in this space, it's got to be a lot more than what people have been delivering. And there also needs to be autonomy within whatever that device is, too. It has to be able to function without having to be tethered to a device. It's great if then tethering it to a device you have enhances the functionality of that thing. But
not if it's going
to be a wearable wristwatch sort of thing. It has to be able to be autonomous to a certain degree. You have to be able to do some things right on the device.
That's if you're assuming that it's going to have a display, whereas I'm saying it doesn't have to have a display. If it's a Bluetooth earphone,
right.
it doesn't need to be autonomous then.
Wasn't there on the Big Show a couple of weeks ago? Nick had there was a Kickstarter that was around these kind of Bluetooth headphones.
Stuff
inside it. So I mean, I like that idea. Paul Holmes in the chat room, righty, is saying no one wears a watch. What the fudge are they thinking? But then again, vinyl is coming back into fashion. I'm thinking that I need to be concentrating to shell suits and bomb bags.
Vinyl clothing, or you mean like albums?
I'm assuming he's meaning albums.
Barbarella.
You know, things do get a little bit weird in Norfolk on a Saturday night, so you know it could be vinyl clothing. He said no one wears a watch. So when the iPad was coming out, people were saying no one uses tablet computers because Microsoft had been doing tablet computers for a little while. I think I think using the argument of no one wears a watch is maybe I don't know if I necessarily would use that as an argument against it.
No, I'm using that as an argument against the products that are currently on the market.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. When we're talking about something like this LG Round, making it round because the LG G, you know, didn't work out, is not going to change the fact that it doesn't do enough. It's not going to compel enough people to go out and buy this thing because they want something to stick on their wrist. And I think Apple, that's why it's taken Apple so long to do something in the space, because I think they've been watching it and looking at it and trying different things. And, you know, I like Ewan's idea. You know, maybe the wearable is not even a watch like everyone's thinking. Who knows what it's going to be? But I just feel like whatever they're going to, and the rumors, we're going to see something on September 9th, right? So whatever they show off, it's going to answer a lot of these questions about, you know, why is a consumer going to be compelled to actually buy this thing? And more importantly, not just buy it, because, you know, they're going to get sales regardless. It's new technology. Same thing with the round watches and the Moto 360. A lot of people are going to buy it. I just don't see it having a lasting impact. And that doesn't benefit the company in the long term. So Apple needs to be able to do something that once people are going to buy it, they're going to be compelled to use that product over and over. You know, your iPhone works because you're compelled to use it. I use my iPad every day, and I think people do. You know, that's what changed. I think a lot of people got tablet PCs back in the day and realized it didn't do a whole lot more than their notebook did and just went, well, this is just silly. Right? Mm-hmm. You have to have a compelling reason. And with the iPad, it was definitely apps. I mean, it's really, the credit goes to apps and the whole app ecosystem and marketplace.
Yeah, yep. definitely. Is there any Windows Phone watches? Has Nokia announced anything about doing a phone or anything like that?
No.
I can't quite remember. I seem to have a faint memory of it being mentioned at some point, but I just did a quick Googles and I can't find anything.
Oh, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that even things like the Fitbit don't work with it. I don't think
the Fitbit don't work. Oh, right. Okay, the Fitbit don't work with Windows.
I'll gladly stand corrected from the knowing masses out there, but I've cruised through the Nokia apps, and there's no, and I did type in Nike, and I couldn't see anything for kind of like Fitbit or Nike Flex or anything like that. There was nothing at all.
Yes. Well, so we've mentioned it a couple of times in the show already, but of course Apple have sent out the announcement for their September the 9th event using the sort of tagline, "Wish we could say more." So a lot of people have smashed that tagline to death and come up with a whole bunch of theories. So I think I'm just going to pass over that. I'm just going to open out to the collected panel. What are we going to see next Tuesday? What do you reckon, Adam? We're probably going to see the standard stuff like the phone and the iPad, but is there anything else you're expecting?
I'm not even expecting the iPad.
Really?
Rumors are that the iPad's going to be a separate event probably in October. So I think really the focus is going to be whatever they're doing with the next generation phone, iPhone 6, and then obviously the sort of end cap to it that's going to be the bigger announcement is whatever Apple is doing in the wearable space. The thing on the wearables is they're not going to have anything, sounding like they're not going to have anything that's going to be actually shipping. And I've talked to a few people about this, and the guess is why they would want to announce, and they did this with the original iPhone, I think also the iPad, you know, they announced it well in advance of when it was actually shipping. And the reason to do that is they have to start to put in for FCC approvals and different kinds of approvals of the device. So information is going to start to get out as they do that. So they want to head that off the path. Okay, here's what it is. Here's what we're bringing out. But it's going to be available in early 2015, very likely.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting you're saying that you don't expect an iPad.
No.
What's kind of pointing you in that direction?
I think they just don't want to take focus away from the phone. It would just get buried. An iPad announcement would just get lost in the other things that they're announcing, because the wearable is huge by itself. Mm-hmm. They could have a whole separate event. And there was rumors for a while they were going to have a separate event for that. There's different theories as to why they're actually combining the two. And that seems to be possibly a last minute change, with the prevailing theory being that it's going to have a lot tighter integration with iOS 8 and the iPhone. Than was maybe originally planned, which, going to my earlier comments, may or may not be a bad thing. If Apple's had to concede and sort of go down that route of, well, this is just really an accessory to the iPhone, that becomes a really expensive accessory. You know, you're buying an iPhone, which pricing is expected to go up a bit, so the iPhone's already going to be more at a premium than it already is, and then you've got a premium wearable device that just functions as an accessory. You know, it's going to be interesting, but if they're putting those two things together, those are two massive announcements, and you know, the iPad's going to get lost in that shuffle.
So what if? I have a theory around this, and I think they will announce the iPad, because in the last sales call, the sort of they were well, the iPad sales had went down. And it wasn't really a red face. I mean, they still sold a huge amount. So I think they would be reluctant to remove the iPad from this announcement, given that it's been on this announcement for as long as the iPad's been in the October-September release. So not doing an announcement, I am sure, would have some analysts pooping themselves and saying, the iPad sales had dipped from what they were expecting, and now they're kind of putting off and they're not really concerned about it anymore. While I know that's completely not true, I think that would maybe open some floodgates for some analysts there.
But I mean, there's just not much they're going to do with the iPad either. I mean, there's not going to be a big, huge update, I don't think, to the iPad. I don't see them doing the 12.9-inch for the end of the year, although I could be proven wrong. But you're going to have some updates to the Air. You're going to have new processors. Beyond that, I mean, really, what do they have to show off or announce? iOS 8, I guess, but that will already be sort of out there because of the iPhone 6. So.
I think they're going to, I think there's a couple of things to think of. I would suggest that the iPad Air is a given. iPad Air 2 is a given because that's due for an upgrade. They haven't kind of aired the iPad Mini as yet. So I see a reduction in border size, not a reduction in overall size necessarily, but the you could see that they'd want to strip away some of the bevel with that to make it look in the Air range again, because that seems to
Touch ID is the big thing across the line.
Yeah, but the other thing I think is that Brian Chaffin is probably on the money with what he's saying about the, because everyone's saying, oh, the wearable's not coming until 2015. And I think they're basing that on the fact they've seen no leakage, they've seen no component leakage, they've seen no interface leakage, they've seen no screen leakage, nothing coming out of the suppliers. But Brian Chaffin's theory is that the wearable is being produced in Arizona factory.
Yeah,
and I think he's on the money with that. I think he's dead right. I think the double down on secrecy thing is we're going to bring it back over borders. We're going to get a tax holiday off the US government for providing US jobs. And we know damn well that we're not going to be telling the world ahead of time what's coming. And I think you're definitely going to get a wearable that goes with the iPhone next week. And I think I would probably say that more than just the fact of diluting the iPhone presentation, what you'll find is they might push, I think they'll definitely push an iPad Air 2 and an iPad Mini Air into October or November, because simply the fact that people can't afford to buy both at the same time and it would harm sales in the same quarter, or even maybe bounce it to next year.
Yeah, so I think it'll happen in October. I think November would be too late.
Yeah, I think so. I think it has to be September or October. But what if the wearable moves out to October? And bear with me here. What if the wearable is a huge amount to do with home automation and the whole HomeKit thing that got announced with iOS 8, and they're going to come out and talk about an Apple TV? So I have to admit, I'm stealing the Apple TV idea from Kelly. Come on, because she's mentioned that in a few shows before. But the idea that the iWatch or the wearable of some kind is actually the thing that detects you coming into the house, and you can do a lot of stuff on the watch, which then allows you to, or the wearable of whatever it happens to be.
It's got to be iBeacons, definitely, I agree.
So you're connecting all that together, so then that means the wearable actually has some kind of functionality without an iPhone.
Well, there's a proximity security feature that they patented, wasn't there, that topped up a couple of that, and I remember talking to Brian Chaffin about it on the Mac show, and I was kind of like, well, if they've got a location-based security feature, and that was registered in December 2012, then that ties in perfectly with iBeacons and a wearable. You walk in the house, I think that's definitely on.
Yeah.
Well, there's going to be tight HomeKit and HealthKit integration in whatever their wearable is.
And I really like the idea, and props to Kelly, it was her that kind of has mentioned this on Daily Observations from Mac Observer, and the idea that this, the Apple TV becomes the kind of brain behind the whole home automation thing, and then the wearable, then the idea is that the wearable then becomes the kind of the tool that you use to navigate around your house, and that could be a massive big thing.
Yeah, she throws that out there. I also have to wonder, though, if they don't build it into the airport rather than the Apple TV.
I would wager, I have absolutely no stats to back this up, but I would wager that there are more Apple TVs in the wild than there are airports.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so I am the only person.
But that means a new Apple TV.
I'm the only person that I know out with this network that owns any kind of Apple router. Well, I know lots and lots of people who have Apple
TVs. No, I do too.
Right. Well, and plus there's the whole software, you know, interface aspect of it. Apple TV is going to provide an interface on your TV. So if you need to set up automation, macros, and scheduling, things like that, you're going to need something like that.
Righty's saying, isn't wearables a WWDC thing, so it's DC thing so that they can write apps with devs. Because all they're doing is HealthKit gives them data outputs. So whatever gives that data output is irrelevant. It just does a data output. BPM is, blood pressure is. Once you've got a data output, you write an app around the data input from the HealthKit.
You don't need to know
what the device is.
I just don't buy this whole idea that if a wearable comes out, all it's doing is health stuff. Because I've kind of found, I had a Nike Fuel Band, I've had a Fitbit, and they're both pointless. Partly because I don't do any exercise, but in the main because I just find them fairly pointless otherwise. I think the only time it actually works is when you've maybe got two or three of your friends who have them, and you do that whole competition thing when you actually care about it. But I think if the wearable comes out, they'll do the same as the iPhone did to begin with, and they'll do the same as the Apple TV has done up until now and possibly into the future, in that you have the stock Apple apps. And then maybe at some point in the future, they open up the SDK when they're a little bit more comfortable and confident with it. It seems they did with the iPhone before apps came out and you had web apps and whatnot.
Well, it's also a potential reason, again, why they announce in September and then don't ship until 2015. So they could announce the device, announce SDK and API availability to developers to start integrating with HealthKit and HomeKit with their third-party apps, and then have those apps ready to go on launch day with the device. So I don't discount Brian's theory that it's being produced in the US, and that's why we've had no leaks about it. I just don't know that, you know, it's going to be surprised. Hey, it's ready to ship. Because here's the thing. Here's my thing on the iWatch is this thing has to be rock solid out of the gate. It has to have no flaws, no errors. I mean, it has to be pristine perfect in terms of its integration with the Apple ecosystem and working, because if there's anything wrong with it, the media, analysts, everybody are just going to have a field day. I mean, it's going to be a bloodbath if it's not perfect.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, dear. So this podcast and all the others in the British Tech Network are brought to you by the fantastic people at UK2. If you don't know anything about them, or you haven't heard of them, frankly, you've been living in a rock, or this is the first time you've watched the British Tech Network. And if it's the latter, welcome. It's nice to have you. UK2 provide piles and piles of awesome web-based services for the people at the network here and also for our happy listeners. If you head on over to britishtechnetwork.com and click on the sponsors link, you will see all sorts of fantastic money off vouchers and codes and discount nonsense for to pop into your cart and get some cash off when you buy services from UK2. They're absolutely superb. I'm personally a customer of theirs, and I'm happily a customer, not out with this network, and it isn't because I'm part of this network. I just think they provide great support. They always, always go above and beyond if there's a situation that requires it. I can't recommend them highly enough. They're absolutely superb. Please head on over to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and click on the click through there, because it's quite important that you do that so that they know that we sent you. The other people I would like to thank for being a sponsor, they provide the pipes into British Tech Network Towers, is Network Union. If you work within a large IT company or within IT at a large company, they can help you with BT, MPLS, WAN, SIP, Ethernet connectivity. Whether you're new to BT or an existing BT client, you can choose to engage BT via Network Union. Existing clients, nothing changes. Same contracts and support, but you can change your account management to the Network Union, re-sign your contract with a different area of BT. If you're an SME with business broadband, they can check for fiber upgrades, call packages, even BT Office 365 and Everything Everywhere Mobile, bundled together for savings or happy to deal with new inquiries. And for you US listeners out there, you normally switch off at this point. Network Union are agents for Magistri, who are headquartered in Dallas. Magistri have a fantastic global MPLS WAN network. Any IT managers out there in the US using MPLS should also hit up Network Union using the sponsors page, because they can put you in touch with some fantastic resources. So please use the click-throughs on the sponsors page. And I should mention that also US listeners can use UK2. You will have to pay in the Queen's Pound, but that's fine, because we have to pay in dollars for pretty much every other service that sponsors a podcast, so it serves you right.
Queen's Pound, as it should be.
Yes, indeed.
That was my contribution.
I will have to possibly do some kind of jiggery-pokery with my currency in about 2 weeks' time to buy anything from UK 2, but that's a different problem altogether.
Vote no!
Officially, I can't have an opinion, so I don't have an opinion.
Christ slavery!
No, I officially can't have an opinion. I'm not getting involved in this conversation. Gentlemen, do you have picks for us this evening? I will start with Mr. Chris Persephone Woods. Can you give us your
I think I need a little magic eight ball. It's just said, yeah.
It's not my
it's got to be the stylophone, hasn't it?
It's a stylophone.
It's a pocket device.
Is Rolf running that on Android now?
You can even plug your phone into it and stream your hits and play along.
Have you just kind of glanced around your desk? Did I not give you enough notice? Is that what the problem is?
What are you on about? I had this thing like 3 hours ago. I was just sitting in my room on my own playing with it.
Has Rolf lost the sponsorship deal for those now?
See, I'd never heard of these
too soon.
Before.
I couldn't possibly have a comment on that.
It wasn't until James Hart used that at the Bash a couple of years back. I'd never seen one of these devices.
I've got one. My parents have got one.
They're much more convenient than a tuba because you can go.
There's a man that's practiced too much.
The musical stylings of Mr. Woods.
It's all on the tongue. You've got to stick your tongue out when you're.
He didn't bring a pick.
You can even tune to orchestra pitch with the pitch knob back.
Okay, where can I buy one of these and how much are they?
You can buy them on the internet, and they are many queen's pounds.
They're about
20, 25 quid, aren't they? But it's a piece of
has old, the new child. One got the vibro thing?
Just have a look. They'll be on Firebox and places like that. I think that's where I got mine from. But they're great because they're like the originals, but they're even better because they've got one, two, three voices, and then vibrato. So you can do proper professional little gigs going there with it. Oh, it's great. And I love the fact that you can plug stuff into them and then you can plug them back into a PA as well so you can entertain crowds.
You can get out of Telford Shopping Centre and be like Bobby Crush on an oil rig.
Yes, you can find me down the Wolfram every Thursday, Saturday and Tuesday.
Okay.
It's a Wolf Ramsey reference.
Open mic night.
Stylophones only. Bring your stylophones.
Oh, the P is for Pandora, says Windrider.
I think I need new friends. I think I need some friends.
Yeah, I think we need some guests who actually bother to get picked.
Yeah, so. See, you lame-o.
Honestly, I'm sure you could have just reached around. There's a lot of rubbish around you there. You could have easily reached around somewhere there and grabbed something else that you could have actually
used. Oh, there's all that rubbish! Thank you. My other pick has got to be the Samsung, which still soldiers on. I don't think I'm ever going to have to charge this thing again.
The Samsung.
Just give you a little sliver of plutonium or something, and it just runs forever. It's amazing.
I'm not saying you've used it so much, but you can't even read what number it is anymore.
I haven't even gone out to use it. There we go. Long press the star key. There we go. You've learned something today, viewers. Long press the star key to unlock old Samsung phones. God, it's amazing. I love it.
Moving on. Adam, what have you got for us?
I'm sorry.
I have a Bluetooth speaker, which is something I had been wanting to get for a while, for a couple of reasons, but most recently because I moved. We have a pool now, and I wanted something that I could play out by the pool. I could set it out. I could hook it up to my phone through Bluetooth. I also have a car that doesn't have any kind of inputs or connectors, so I wanted something portable that I could throw in the car when I'm driving around and listen. And I did a lot of researching. I wanted to not spend too much money. That was the other thing. I didn't want to drop several hundred dollars on one of these things. So I found the JBL Flip 2, which is this cool little cylindrical Bluetooth speaker. It's $100 US, I think £79.99 in the UK. Mm-hmm. And it has great sound. It links up via Bluetooth. So it'll work with any pocket device you have that does Bluetooth audio. And it also has a little speakerphone in it, so you can actually make phone calls as well. And one complaint I had for a while was that it is round, so like when you set it down on its edge, if you're in the car, it can kind of roll around if you're stopping, and it was really annoying me. But then I went on the website just the other day and noticed it fits right in your cup holder. So
oh, nice.
You turn it on its end, and put it in the cup holder, it's even better. Plus, the little phone icon for the speakerphone is right there on the top. So if you're driving and you need to pick up a call, you can hit the button, answer your call, take your call, then go right back to your music. So it's really great. Charges with Bluetooth. My only two complaints with it are that it comes with this cool little, faux leather kind of case to put the device in, but you also have a charging brick and a USB cable. Those don't fit in the case. So it's like you have it in this nice case, but you still got to carry the extra accessories. So I wish they had just made it maybe a little bit longer so that thing would have fit inside, would have been a little bit better design. And then the only other thing is battery life is only so-so. You get 4 to 5 hours, built-in battery, rechargeable, 4 to 5 hours of audio, and then you got to plug it back in. So it's not going to go all day, but for $100, £79, it's really nice.
Yeah, it's got all audio in as well. Quite nice.
Oh, yes. So if you want to plug in another device other than the Bluetooth, you can plug right into it.
Have you ever used the Soulmate by Jambox?
I have not.
Right. Okay.
Is that the smaller one?
No, it's the slightly larger one. It's got the line in. So the smaller one's the... it completely escapes me just now. It's called the Jambox, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, as long as it's right about $100, that was kind of my target price. So.
Yeah. And so I'm looking to get another one of these. My wife uses the one that I bought for living in her bathroom for like when I'm having a shower and things like that. And she keeps on taking it away because she uses it for work. So I'm thinking about buying a second one. And I'm just curious how this one stacked up against the Soulmate. Soulmate's a nice machine as well. I'm not sure how much
it's for everything I read, the Flip 2 kind of had the best price to sound, the size, quality sort of reviews. So.
Okay, cool.
I landed on that one. And I've been happy with the purchase. So that's my pick.
Yes, well, that's very nice. Cool. I've just found the Joe Brown. I was just trying to find. Okay. Ewan, what's your pick while I dig about and try and find the damn books?
I have two. My first one is my pass of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And my pass of the week is the Nokia Universal Car Holder.
The Nokia Universal Car Holder.
Yeah.
As in something that holds cars?
As in something that holds universal Nokia phones. As in all the friggin' phones they sell.
Mm-hmm.
Does it bollocks? Okay. There isn't one. I've got a Nokia 520, a Nokia 630, a Nokia 635, a Nokia 820, and a Nokia 1020 that I can test this with. Not one of them has buttons that are not occluded by the universal holder. So I'm calling BS straight away on the Nokia universal holder. It's £13 if you want to buy it from certain outlets, £16 if you want to get it off the Nokia website, and it's not universal. I'm going to ring Trading Standards immediately after this show's finished. Watch out as well for cell phones that fit in your cup holder, just filling on Adam's thing. The other week I put my phone in the cup holder this way, so vertically as opposed to upside down, which I now do. And while I was going into the middle of Birmingham for a meeting with a customer, I went through the tunnels in Birmingham, which allegedly are supposedly speed controlled now, and I got flashed 4 times going through the tunnels. And I'm like, you get, because that's my entire license gone, if they really are. Turns out what I'd done was actually got the camera button trapped in the in the cup holder, and it was the flash going off 4 times. So, and I put it in upside down. No, my pick is the Nokia 520. Now you're going to go, hang on, the 520 is obsolete because the 530 is just about to come out, and that's only going to be sort of around £70 or £80. Yes, but there's places you can go where you can get the Nokia 520 for £50, SIM free, and it's a great little phone for kids. And it comes now, you can upgrade to 8.1 straight away. So you've got the Siri upgrade, you've got Cortana, you've got the swipey text feature and all that kind of stuff, and you can talk to it to get it to send text and all that kind of thing. You've got the Bluetoothy stuff to link to your car phone if you really want to. It's a magic, magic little phone. And if you've got someone at my lad's age, 11 years of age, and they're going, oh, I really want a phone. I want a smartphone. I don't want a Nokia 3310. You're a bastard, Dad. Then give him a Nokia 520. £50 if they lose it, it's not the end of the world. It's almost disposable at that. You can go and get yourself a Tesco pay-as-you-go SIM, and you're not laughing. You know, you can't lose more than whatever you put on the card. So it's a really good pick. Really good.
Very cool.
I'd just like to interject at this point and actually confess that my proper cool thing I left at work, which is Google Cardboard. So, sorry about that.
No marks for nearly, mate.
Yeah.
But trust me, it's amazing.
Okay.
And amazingly cheap.
There's versions of that you can get on Amazon too that will work with your iPhone.
I love it. There's already Chinese knockoffs. It's just brilliant.
Yep.
It's great. Love it. Well, God bless him.
my pick is the spec case for the iPhone 5S. You can get it for other phones as well. This one is the... sorry, I put in the show notes. I'm just having to try and find it because it's got a specific name. It's the... Padding. It is the SmartFlex card case. And basically, it's an iPhone case that has space in the back for 3 debit cards or credit cards. Ooh. Or 2... plus rolled up tenner or whatever. I don't like carrying a wallet at all. And I was damaging my cards fairly regularly. I put them in the pocket with my cash and my change and things like that kind of lying about. And the chip ended up getting scratched away, and then the chip didn't work. And nobody knows how to deal with credit cards in this country if there isn't a chip attached to it now. So I got this case, and it is pretty superb, actually. It's got a little bit there that you push your cards through, and then they pop out this side. And it works really, really nicely. It adds a little bit extra to the width of the phone, probably only about a third extra to the width of the phone. But it's superb. And I really like it. And I know I've said in this show in the past that I don't like having cases on my phones, and I really don't. And it's kind of a little bit unsure about whether I should go with this or not. But I like it. It does protect my phone now as well. And to be fair, my phone's in the middle of there, and I don't like that I can't see the phone anymore. But I'd far prefer that than what I was going through, which was every 2 months having to phone up my variety of banks that I have cards with and ask them to send out a new one because I had damaged them, but just lying about in my pocket.
So it gets to the point where they were actually charging you for replacements.
They hadn't started that yet, but the guy did say the last time I phoned up, he was like, right, okay, you've had quite a few recently. We are going to start charging you soon.
Collecting them?
Yeah, I know.
Wait, so they're going to charge you for their inferior quality on their little chips?
To be fair,
because God forbid someone puts it in their pocket and it slides around.
They were that bad that the actual signatures had gone from all of my they stay in my pocket that long and they get rubbed away that the signatures had all disappeared as well. So I don't think legally anybody should have actually been accepting any of my cards, irrelevant of whether the pin was was working or not. So I'm really happy with this. It does a cracking job, and it means that I don't have to carry my wallet around with me anymore. I can just have my important debit and credit cards in the back here. And I'm happy. And it also means that my phone's getting protected and I don't keep dropping it and having to get the screen replaced.
So my solution wouldn't... I'd damage my chips as well, probably, right, with this? It's my wallet.
I can't see your screen yet. You'll see it here in a second, probably.
Binder clip. I use a binder clip around my cards.
Bulldog.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I remember seeing that now, yeah. But then that means you have to kind of keep it separately in your pocket, though, don't you?
And you can't call it a bulldog clip anymore, will you? Because you're not going to be British soon. You're going to be Scottish. And it's
I have no opinion.
And it's not a haggis clip. No, it's a bulldog clip.
Yeah, I have no opinion.
One of the things you're going to lose, Mr. Salmon, think carefully.
I have no opinion. So where can everybody get everybody? Chris, where can people find your fantastic shiny face and your actual true middle name?
You can find Christopher Parsimonious Woods, apparently at the Wolfram Centre every Tuesdays, Thursdays and Saturdays.
Open my telephone.
And you can like him on Twitter and friend him on Google+. Christopher W on Twitter. Go harass me on there. I'll be nice.
Christopher W on Twitter. Very good.
The
P is silent.
The P.
Well, failing that, down by the harbour looking for the sailors.
Yeah, it's my stylophone.
Somebody, Ewan, you're currently advertising a certain email address to the world, so there we go. Ewan, where can people find you?
My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and occasionally I appear on this network.
Yes, very occasionally. My fortnightly shows are more regular at the moment.
And I'm wearing pants, by the way.
Oh dear, depressive. Right, Adam, where can people find you?
You can find me over at MacCast.com, also MacCast on Twitter, MacCast pretty much every place else, and also weekly on the iOS show, which I do with Michael Johnston and Jeff Gamet at theiosshow.com, which I think we stole from Paul.
Yes, you did. So I'm patiently waiting for my guest invite for that show, given that you've stolen my name, but that's fine. It's fine.
Fair enough.
Cool. You can find me up.
He had let the domain lapse. Just FYI.
No, I didn't own the domain. We didn't have the domain.
You never had it.
No, that's the crazy Canadian bloke who threatened me with legal action, and I said, "You can't own it, you moron. You don't even own iOS. How can you own the iOS show?" Bring it on.
He let it lapse and we stole it from him, so yes.
Bring it on, Bacon Boy.
We win.
Bring it on, Bacon Boy.
Yeah, no, we don't normally do that with any of our shows. I'm at Paul Wheatley on Twitter, and you can find me on The Gamer Show on This Year Network and The Pocket Show alternate Monday night, on occasion on The Big Show. And the Mac Show when it ends up broadcasting in the evening. If you want to contact us, please email us at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com or follow the network on Twitter at British Tech. We will be back in 2 weeks with more Pocket Show tomfoolery, possibly with some actual iOS devices to talk about, and possibly some new Windows phones as well, and some other nonsense that's come out of the Android camp. Grant, we will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you very much, gents, for this evening. Good night.
Did you build your drone?
I have not built my drone yet. I'm planning to do it this weekend because I had to wait on my SD card arriving.
Of course. Who doesn't own an SD card?